Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's almost like a purport, this translation is so long. Alas, before we met, there was an initial attachment between us, brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually grown, and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a natural sequence between ourselves. It is not that it is due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyed. It is not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. This mutual exchange of attraction is known as Manobhav or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, though Krishna might have forgotten all these things, you can understand and bring this message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. Purport. These verses were originally composed and sung by Ramananda Roy himself. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests that during the time of conjugal enjoyment, the attachment might be compared to Cupid himself. However, during the period of separation, Cupid becomes a messenger of highly elevated love. This is called Prema Vilas Vivarta. When there is separation, conjugal enjoyment itself acts like a messenger. And that messenger was addressed by Srimati Radharani as a friend. The essence of this transaction is that transcendental loving affairs are as relishable during separation as during conjugal enjoyment. When Srimati Radharani was fully absorbed in love of Krishna, she mistook a black tamal tree for Krishna and embraced it. Such a mistake is called Prema Vilas Vivarta. Alas, before we met, there was an initial attachment between us, brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually grown, and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a natural sequence between ourselves. It is not that it is due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyed. It is not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. This mutual exchange of attraction is known as Manobhav, or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, though Krishna might have forgotten all these things, you can understand and bring this message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakalpatrupyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I request the permission of the devotees to try and say something relevant, something enlivening, something bona fide on this very elevated topic, which is the talks between Ramananda Roy and the Lord. So I'm very happy this my friends are here, and Vishwambar Prabhu's come. I'm glad he's come because I've got to ask him a question about Latin. I don't know if he knows the answer. This word Peshala is in this Bengali. It means crushed together. And when I read the word, I thought, this reminds me of an Italian dish called pesto, pasta pesto, which comes, the word pesta, according to Italian, it's pestare, is that right? Pestare means to crush, right? So I wonder, because you like to connect Italian to Latin, is there a Latin equivalent to pesta, pesciola? I don't know. What is the word for mortar in Bengali, Sachimata? Is it peshta, pista? There's a word for grinding mortar in Bengali. Does it begin with P? Prabhupada had a phrase, you take the stick for grinding and you smash the person's teeth with their own arguments. And he had a Bengali phrase. Do you remember the phrase? Is it got the, what is the, okay, doesn't matter. If you remember it, just let me know. Because I want to know what the word mortar is in Bengali, whether it's similar to pesto or peshta. Anyway, this is a very... Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. So, oh, thank you. That's probably what the word... Okay, the stick. Well, the stick's used for crushing, so maybe that's in Bengali? English, peshala. Thank you for teaching me English. I thought I knew English. I don't. I'm obviously not very cultured. Anyway, so the progression of this conversation, we've gone through, you remember that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is the ultimate goal of life? Sajarasar. And Ramananda Rai has gone through from the Varnashram through to Sarvadharma and Prichita, through to hearing from Krishna, Gyane Prayasamudapasya Namanta Eva, Jivanti Sanmukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam, to hear from the pure devotee. And that's when Mahaprabhu said, yes, but he has, say more, say more. He's gone through all the various rasas. And then we're at the conjugal rasa, and he's explained so many elevated topics from the 10th canto. And Mahaprabhu, he's saying, you've told me everything, but say more, say more. And we reached the point where Ramananda Rai said, there is something more. It's called Prema Vilas Vivarta, and I don't know if you'll like it. And he begins to speak. And Mahaprabhu, he puts his hand over the mouth of Ramananda Rai to say, don't say any more, this is so high, please don't speak. But then Ramananda Rai speaks this verse. So we're at the pinnacle. We're at the pinnacle of the conversation between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. And this is it's a very deep topic. I read the translation and I reread it and I reread it and I couldn't make sense of it. And then over a few days I started to piece bits together. So I'll share with you what I've pieced together from this wonderful translation and verse. So where does love begin? There's a phrase in the first line, Naina Bhangi, means glancing. So you had this experience, love begins with glances. Someone looks and then the other person returns the look. Oh, they were looking and they both feel happy. She's thinking, oh, he looked at me. And he's thinking, oh, she looked at me. And then there's embarrassment, you know, look away. Did I get caught? Did I get caught looking at her? And then after a while, it's like, I want her to see me look at her. I want to get caught. I want to send the message to her that I'm looking at her because I like her. And she's thinking, I'm really happy he's looking at me. But in the material world, you can't do that forever. It has to graduate to smiling and talking and then talking about personal things and then intimacy alone, etc. And once you've gone through that progression, you can't go back to the glancing. It doesn't work anymore. You know, married couples, they don't sit in their houses and glance at each other. It doesn't happen. But actually, in the spiritual world, it's different because it's said here, avadi nagela, there is no limit. So you can have all phases at once. So how does love work? There's a nice phrase here. And Prabhupada gives a translation. And then I'll share another angle given by Gaur Govinda Maharaj because he discusses this verse. So if you look at the second couplet, Naso Ramana, Nahama Ramani, means he is not the lover and I am not the... What's the phrase? He is not the lover. Well, this is not due to Krishna, the enjoyer. He's not the enjoyer and I'm not the enjoyed. Ramani's Radharani referring to herself. She's Ramani, she's the enjoyed, and Krishna's Ramana. But she's saying there's no... He's not the enjoyer and I'm not the enjoyed. And the idea given in the translation is that love has its own force. It's like, you can have the example, say you're on a roller coaster and you're sitting next to someone. You're both going through something. So love's a bit like a roller coaster. Now, I remember when I was a brahmachari, at one point I decided I'm going to get married. I thought, I'll probably do it. When I first was a brahmachari, I thought 80% chance I'm not going to get married. And after 1 year, I thought 50%. After about 3 years, I started to ask about it. So the temple president of Sydney at the time said to me, marriage is a roller coaster. Once you get on, you can't get off. He was warning me. Now, it can be a good roller coaster or a bad one, but the love part, the initial attraction, it's a fun roller coaster. But there's a force. See, there's the two people, then there's this third force. It's love. Actually, there's four. There's the love. There's two loves. His love for her and her love for him. And that's the force that is driving the whole interaction. So what I get from this translation is Radharani saying, he's not doing it, I'm not doing it, but there's this powerful love that we're both sharing and it's driving us here and there and everywhere, and it's the cause of the whole thing. And she goes on to explain further that in separation, that love is now the messenger. And what is that word? Panchabana. What does that mean? Five arrows. So we have Cupid. It's interesting how we have this beautiful Vedic culture, all these demigods, but they don't seem to enter into English, but somehow Cupid has made it. Everyone in England knows about Cupid with the arrow, and they do little films. Before even Prabhupada came, they had these little films. You see the little Cupid with the arrow. For some reason, this demigod, Kamadev, and of course Krishna is the transcendental Cupid, has made it into the whole English way of thinking. So any historians can maybe check, when did this Cupid with the arrows enter into our culture, as in our Malecha culture? Sorry to say it. Anyway. Thank you. So we already have it. So there's Shakespeare. And how old is Shakespeare? 500 years maybe? 600. So Shakespeare, which was before Mahaprabhu, and we had Cupid already being talked about with arrows. Thank you. Are you an English teacher?
Yes.
Thank you. How did I know? Only English teachers know Shakespeare back to front. Prabhuji. Okay. That might explain it, because Greek culture, we obviously know more about it than Sanskrit. Okay.
Aphrodite,
yes. From which we get the word aphrodisiac. So, I was explaining. So love is the force. But let's look at it from another angle. And I refer to Embankment of Separation, which is a book. It was actually edited by Madhavananda Prabhu, but it's based on the teachings of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So he really churns the nectar here. So he explains that there's different levels of love. Now in the Adi Lila, it said, Hladinira Sara Prem, Prema Sara Bhav, Bhavara Paramakashta, Hoi Mahabhav. The essence of Hladini is prema. So that's the pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti. The essence of Hladini is prema. The essence of prema is bhav. So there's degrees of prema, and the highest degree is bhav. And when bhav reaches its highest platform, it's known as mahabhav. So sometimes there's a verse that says, Mahabhav Sarupa Sri Radha Takarani. Sri Radharani is the embodiment of this mahabhav. So sometimes people say, Prabhupada didn't give us everything. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, not only did he give us prema, but he's given us the degrees of prema. And actually, in the conversations between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, even the degrees of mahabhava are described. And that is repeated in Jaiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and also by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He likes to extract, go into the essence of the essence of the essence. So it said, prema vridi kraminam Snehamana Pranaya, Raga Anuraga Bhav, Mahabhav Vahoya. The degrees of prema are, well, actually the first degree is known as Rati, preliminary love of God, which is also sometimes called Bhav. The second degree is prema, and then sneha, affection, mana, which means counter love or sulkiness. It's nice to indulge in some sulky behavior with your beloved, right? You get to have a sulk, and because you get to express, you didn't do that, you didn't do that to me. And you're looking for attention, and it's a nice aspect of love. But after mana, there's pranaya, which means, and this is where it gets technical, pranaya means when the lover and the beloved become one. There's a type of love where you're so deeply attached that you feel like you are one person. That's called pranaya. And in Ujjvala Nilamani, which I've not read, but Gaur Govinda Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada discuss these things, there's a phrase called Vishramba. Now, this word Vishramba, I first saw it in connection with Sakyaras. Vishramba means intimate friendship. Vishramba Sakya means very intimate friendship, as opposed to Gaurava Sakya, which means there's friendship, but there's also some reverence there. So Vishramba means intimacy to the point of becoming one. I mentioned the last time I gave class that the cowherd boys can kick Krishna, but the monkeys can't kick Lord Ramachandra, different mood. There's a more elevated type of love between the cowherd boys and Krishna that they feel like they are one body and they can just play and kick and wrestle and there's no disrespect. So that Vishramba is there in Sakya Ras, but it's also there in Conjugal Ras, right, in Madhurya Ras. So what's actually been said here is Radha and Krishna are being crushed together, Peshala. And how are they crushed? It's the force of circumstances. They're being crushed together through pain of separation. And their love becomes elevated. Therefore, prema, sneha, mana, pranaya, and everything after pranaya, the lover and the beloved are one. Raga, more ecstatic, anurag, then bhav, and then mahabhav. These are all degrees. And so, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he poses the question. And we go back to the fifth verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because now we've reached such a high topic, but that topic is actually already discussed in verses 5 and 6 of Adi Lila. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vrikritir, Ladini Shakti Rasma, De Katmanava Pi Bhuvi Bhava, Dehabenam Gatau Tau, Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyamaptam, Radha Bhava Juti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. So the absolute truth is one. Eka Atma, Ekatmanav. Now this verse is, because it's talking about two, there's lots of au. Words that end in au means dual, the dual ending. Ekatmanav means one soul. I once asked a Sanskrit pundit, I said, why do we see Radha Govinda? Because there's two of them. Why don't we see Radha Govindao? Because sometimes people say Guru Gurangao. Why do we see one and not two? And his answer was very simple. He said, well, they're one and different, and therefore they're one. So you can see Radha Govinda. So we see Sri Sri Radha Govinda, we're saying they're one. We see Sri Sri Radha Govindao, we're saying they're two. They're both the one and they're two. For example, if you heard this phrase, Shakti, Shakti Matayor Abeda. You heard this phrase? It means there's no difference between Shakti, which is Radharani, and Shakti Man, which is Krishna. Shakti Matayor, there's another version, Shakti, Shakti Mator Abeda, which is the same phrase, but singular. So Shakti, Shakti Matayor means dual, and Shakti Mator means singular. So the same phrase as both, just how you want to use it. So the point is, they're one and different. And as Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, in tattva they are different, but in mood they are one. So let's go back to the verse. Ekat manavapi, although they are one, they become two. And the two now become one again. Why? In order to taste rasa. Radha bhava jyoti suvalitam naomi Krishna sarupam. But that is Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. The tattva's there. But he has the luster, and the bhav, the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he says, why pranaya? Why not prema vrikriti? You could say Radha prema vrikriti. Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's prema. And he explains it's because of this. Pranaya means because they are one. It's not referring not just to prema, but the very intense prema when the lover and the beloved become one. And therefore, although they are different, at the same time they are one. And the sixth verse is the same. Sri Radaya Pranay Mahima Kidrisha Vanayaiva Svajoyena Bhuta Madurima Kidrisha Veti Lo Batno Kidrisho Vamadiyaha Saukyam Chasya Madano Bhavataha Kidrisham Veti Lo Bat Bhavaja Samajani Satchigarbha Sindhau Harinduhu, that the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, has arisen just like the moon arises from the ocean. Now, if you're in Bengal, actually, is it Satchigarbha Sindhau Harinduhu? Anyway, is it the moon or the sun rising? Anyway, when you're in Bengal in the morning, if you're at the bank of the Ganges, you can see the sunrise. It's very beautiful. So actually, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are considered to be like the sun and the moon rising. Anyway, same word, phrase is used. The greatness of Radharani's love, the sweetness that she tastes through that love, and the realization she gets from reflecting on that sweetness. These are the three desires that Krishna has, which is why he comes as Lord Chaitanya, to fulfill those desires. And the word used is loba. Loba means greed. So Krishna has his greed. Part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about Raghunuga Bhakti. How do we know? Because previously in this chapter it says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadi Kato Pilapyate Tatra Lauyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janma Kodi Sukritana Labyate. To get this taste, Raghunuga Bhakti, to get this Krishna Bhakti, there's only one price, and that's Lauyam. You have to be greedy. So greed, when we talk about greed, we're talking about that aspect of devotional service which can be attained through greed and not just through mechanical sadhana. Through mechanical sadhana, you can't attain Raghunuga Bhakti. What is this Raghunuga Bhakti? It's explained by Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So there's a verse that describes Ragatmika. It's Ishti Svarasiki Raga Paramavishtata Bhavet. Tanmayi Bhavaya Bhakti Satra Ragatmikodita. Ragatmika means when you have a natural, inherent desire, ishti, to the form of Krishna that you want to worship, and Paramavishtata, it just absorbs you, complete absorption. If you're attached to something, attracted to something, naturally you'll be very absorbed. So the attraction comes, that leads to a complete absorption. And someone who is in that state of consciousness, they are known as a Ragatmika Bhakta. They are very high elevated. And if you have the association of them, Satam Prasangam Mamavir Yasamvado Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata, you will relish what they speak. You will relish their words because their bhakti is infectious. So Sadhu Sangha is a type of infection. And we want to spread this infection throughout the world because that will ultimately transform the world and everyone will become Krishna conscious. If we don't have this raga, then it's very hard to preach. And recently, Antaranga Prabhu, I was just talking with him about book distribution, and he said, if someone comes to him and talks about the Quran or the Bible, he'll say, well, look, if you say the Quran, I can say the Bhagavad Gita, so it's equal. So you can't just talk about the Quran, I can talk about the Gita. So you can't use your arguments against me because I can use them against you. So how do you go beyond that? You have to find some commonality. I remember speaking with Keshava Maharaj, and he said, it's good to find what's common with a person, then you become friends. Once you're friends, you can easily preach. I know from personal experience, one time a Jehovah's Witness came around to my door. And so I opened the door, and he offered me, and I said, thank you. And then I said to him, will you take one of my things? I had an on-chanting leaflet. And he didn't want to take. And I thought to myself, I don't want to take your book now because you didn't want to take mine. I don't want to take yours. But a year later, same thing happened. This time it was a woman, lady, Jehovah's Witness, and she had a child. And the same thing happened. She gave me the watchtower and I said, will you take this? And she said, yes. And she took it and I felt very happy and I liked her. And I closed the door. I went upstairs and I looked out the window and she's walking along the street. And her daughter is looking through on chanting, looking at all the pictures of Krishna. And I was thinking, that's very nice. It was a nice exchange. I took the gift. She took the gift. It was reciprocal. So we learn from that, which is why, personally speaking, when I'm on Harinam Sankirtan, if I see a Christian or a Muslim trying to give me a card, I take the card and I say, thank you very much. Because I know that person will be happy. Because they'll be thinking, maybe that Hare Krishna is going to come to the higher platform. He's going to not worship idols anymore, and he's going to realize there's only one God, not many, and that's going to be a very good thing. So they'll be happy, and they'll have a positive experience, and I feel happy because I know that they have a positive experience about the Hare Krishnas, you see. So anyway, so why did I get on about that? Yeah, I was talking about, say again? Yes, love and exchanges, okay. So anyway, so now I'll, so in summary, Nasa Ramana, Nahama Ramani, it has one meaning, that love is the force. And the other meaning is, the type of love is the type of love, pranaya vikritir, where the lover and the beloved are pressed together, crushed together, and that's bringing their love higher. Now, we all know this. In this material world, we know that pain and suffering can increase love. Now, I'll give you an example. Fighter pilots. If you're in a squadron and you've fought, and this happened in the Second World War, there were so many American fighter pilots, and they were looking out for each other. They had the wingman, they were protecting each other, one was saving the other's life. These people, what happens when they come back? Peacetime is over. Every year they meet. Year after year they'll meet, and because they've formed a bond, and it's a bond that no one can understand. If you've been in war and you've been with someone and you've fought with them on the same side, it creates a bond that you can never describe unless you've been in that situation. So for war veterans, they like to meet every year, and it's a lifelong friendship. And what is that? That's bonding through pressure. Now, if you can imagine love, Romeo and Juliet, we have the love example. There's obstacle. You know, any romance is not a good story unless there's obstacles. So Romeo and Juliet, the families are feudal. They're like barbarians. They haven't followed the principle, sarvo, padi, venir, muktam. No, there's no false designation. They don't think that way. They just think, I'm part of this. I don't even remember the names. We have our Shakespeare teacher, she's gone. No, we don't have the names of the families, but Romeo and Juliet, they came from feudal families, and they were like, you know, that's the boundary. This is a real designation. We don't see ourselves as spirit souls loving everyone. And of course, as a result, the love, it's actually quite spiritual. There's a spiritual dimension to this Romeo and Juliet. The love is universal between Romeo and Juliet, and it transcends the family feud. And at the end of the play, if I remember correctly, the families make up. And they say, okay, look, we lost our Romeo, we lost our Juliet. And it was all because of, you know, we had this stupid feud and they become friends. Right. But anyway, it's kind of spiritual, the idea of love transcends all. And you notice it in the Hare Krishna movement as well. You know, people talk about, well, there's the Westerners and then there's the Indians. But it doesn't stop them marrying each other. You know, we talk about them being different, but it's like so many Hindu people are marrying Western people and vice versa, you know, because ultimately love is universal. It transcends all these boundaries. You know, I remember once going to Mayapur and back to Vijayapuna where Maharaj was there, and he said, well, where have you been? He hadn't seen me for a while. And I said, I've been in the United Kingdom. And he chuckled and go, is it united? He's making the point, this material world, there's no unity. And afterwards I thought, it's pretty united because they marry each other, you know. Scottish men marry English women, etc. So, because, you know, male-female stuff, it transcends the other boundaries. Anyway, so let's discuss. I began discussing the elevation of love, and I got to the point where I was talking about pranaya. Pranaya being the lover and the beloved are one. Pranaya, raga, anurag, bhav, and mahabhav. But we can even talk about mahabhav. What are the divisions of mahabhav? This is like just the highest ecstasy of prema. There's what's known as Ruddha Mahabhav, very elevated Mahabhav. And then there's Adhiruddha Mahabhav, even more elevated. And then the Queens of Dwarka, they don't go beyond that. And then there's Modana Mahabhav. Modana means some divine pleasure, indescribable. And then if you add even more separation, Modana becomes Mohana. And then from Mohana, we get Madana. What's the difference between Mohana and Madana? Well, speaking from personal realization, Prabhu, I will share what I have understood. No, I'm joking. If you look at the Governor Maharaj books, they got a little glossary. They describe Madanakya Bhava as simultaneous separation and oneness. you have, see, I was mentioning in this, you can't have both. You can have the glancing and you want to speak to the person, but once you've already spoken to them, you can't go backwards. But in the material, in the spiritual world, it's different. So in this Madanakya Mahabhav, you can have the benefits of separation and the benefits of union simultaneously. That's Madanakya Mahabhav, union and separation simultaneously. So all the elements of separation are there, even though there's union at the same time. Mohana means you take Modana, which I think has elements of union, and then you put more separation into it and it becomes Mohana. So I don't know how you go from Mohana to Madana. You're going to have to ask someone who knows. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about this for too long because I might get into trouble being a Sahaja. Anyway, but I'll say a little bit more. And this is more. This is from Gaur Govinda Maharaj as well, which is a very wonderful analysis. So he compares Radharani's heart to wax. So let's go back to the verse 5 and 6 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The reason, or verse 6, the reason why Mahaprabhu comes. He's coming to taste the bhava of Radharani. So he has to get it, but it's in our heart. So how did he get it? He has to steal it. And it's actually said, Kutuki Rasastoma Hritva. He's the thief, and he steals the mellow within Radharani's heart. But how can he steal? Because Radharani's heart is like wax, and it's hard. He can't enter it. So in order to steal this mellow, he has to melt Radharani's heart. And how does he melt it? With the fire of? Fire of what? Separation, yes. So the fire of separation, Krishna, he's playing games with Radharani. He's playing with her heart, and he becomes invisible. And then she's feeling separation, or he goes off to Mathura. I think this verse is not explained. This verse, we're on the board. I think it's when Radharani's in Mathura. And she's speaking to Cupid. Cupid's the messenger. And she's saying, Krishna won't remember me, but I remember him. So she's feeling that she's been deserted by Krishna. He's with the queens in Mathura. Anyway, the queens in Dwarka. But he's in Mathura, and he's playing with his cowherd boys, and he's doing all sorts of things. He's wrestling with Kamsa. But anyway, she's thinking, Krishna's forgotten me. And that's where I think it comes from, this particular angle. So yeah, it's talking about the wax. So, but with the fire of separation, then the heart becomes soft, and then Krishna can enter into the heart. And then in a few verses' time, Ramananda Rai will faint. So the fainting of Ramananda Rai, and this will conclude this discussion, and I'll go back to something normal. The fainting of Ramananda Rai is very, very elevated, and Gaur Govinda Maharaj has brought out the significance. So he explains in terms of three types of union and three types of separation. So beginning with separation, the three types of separation are bhavi, varaha, which means the gopis know they're going to be separated from Krishna. Krishna's still there, but they know it's going to happen. Like, the Kuru is coming. Kuru is going to come and take away Krishna. Bhavi, varaha. They feel separation at the thought that it's going to happen in the future. And there's bhuta, varaha, means the separation has already happened. And the mood of separation is increased because as time increases, the separation increases. And this is actually... this verse, there's an element of that in this verse, because Radharani's talking about the separation is, the love is increasing due to separation. So that means separation has also already happened. But the most intense type of separation is bhavan varaha. Bhavan means it is happening. It's the separation when Krishna is actually leaving Vrindavan. Now when Akrura takes away Krishna, that's bhavan varaha, that's the most intense moment. And what were the gopis doing? They were throwing themselves under the wheels of the chariot because they couldn't bear to live. That's how intense it was. You see? So that's bhavan varaha. So as Gaur Govinda Maharaj points out, just as the most intense type of separation is bhavan. The most intense type of union is bhavan milana. Milana means union. So union has three types as well, bhavi, bhuta, and bhavan. So bhavi milana is like you've not actually met, but the desire's there. Like Rukmini, for example, the messenger, She's sending a messenger to Krishna. She's never met Krishna, but she's feeling separation even though she's never met Krishna. So that's Buddha, Milana, there's union, but it hasn't happened. Or, to give an example, that's not a good example, that's Purvarag. Better example is in Nidovan, Vishakha. Who is Vishakha? Vishakha is Ramananda Roy. This is important. Vishakha, she sees Radha and Krishna coming together for their Leela, but they haven't merged in love. So she's already seen that ecstasy. She's seen Radha and Krishna after they've merged, they're embracing and they're one. That's called Bhavi Milana. The union's already happened. She's seen them lying in bed together, embracing as one. That's her ecstasy. But Vishakha has never seen the actual moment when Krishna enters Radharani's heart and they merge. That's called Bhavan Milana. Bhavan Milana means when the union is actually happening. And what's about to happen in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Ramananda Roy is going to see the two forms. He's going to see Radha Krishna separate and Radha Krishna as one. And then he says to Mahaprabhu, first I see a sannyasi, then I see a blackish complexion. A boy with blackish complexion is Krishna. Now I see a golden doll, you know. So he sees Radha, he sees the sannyasi, Mahaprabhu, he sees Radha Krishna with the bluish complexion, but then he sees the merging of Radha and Krishna and this golden complexion. And that's Bhavan Milana, which is the highest type of union. And that's why Ramananda Roy faints, because the idea here is Chaitanya's Leela is the maturation of Krishna's Leela, so that the bhavs are even higher in Chaitanya Leela than they are even in Krishna Leela. So Vishakha, she doesn't see that in Krishna's Leela, but when she has this conversation with Ramananda Roy, she sees the Bhavan Milana, the actual moment when Krishna enters into the melted heart of Radharani and they become one. And that's just the most ecstatic type of union, you see? And that's as far as I'm going on that. And what time shall we finish? Do we finish at 8:45 or do we finish at 9:00? Sometimes on Saturdays the prasad is a little late, so I'll go on a little bit further because we'll be too early. Let's now talk about our approach to all this. So there's a famous phrase for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Pujala Ragapata, Gaurava Mangi. It means we keep the spontaneous path, the path of spontaneous love, we keep it above our heads. Gaurava Bhangi means it's a very elevated thing, and we always have that attitude, that Raganuga Bhakti is something very, very high, and we should have awe and reverence for the guru and awe and reverence for the process and not try and prematurely jump to that platform. And I find this, Prabhupada had a way of saying this, he had little phrases, and I've said them before, I'll say them again, they're really kind of clever little phrases that Prabhupada had to describe this. He would say, Kurukshetra Leela first, then Rasa Leela. The idea being is, you got to get your ecstasy from Bhagavad Gita. And this is a good test. Because some people, they like to talk about higher topics, but they don't have a taste for Bhagavad Gita. Remember the Brahmana in Sri Rangam? He was an ecstasy, he couldn't read, but he used to go in ecstasy just picking up the Bhagavad Gita. Because that's the real test. Can you get ecstasy from reading the Bhagavad Gita? And if you don't, then it means you're for material reasons, you're going somewhere else because you can't get spiritual, you're not qualified spiritually. So you go to Rasa Leela because you can't get it from Kurukshetra Leela. So that's one little phrase. Kurukshetra Leela first, then Rasa Leela. Now recently I had a look at the verses that Prabhupada quoted the most often. And what I find interesting is 8 of the top 10 verses are all Bhagavad Gita verses. So Srila Prabhupada was quoting Bhagavad Gita a lot. So let's have a little test here. Who can guess or who knows the Bhagavad Gita verses, top 10 Bhagavad Gita verses, or the top 8 Bhagavad Gita verses that are in the top 10? Anyone? Just make a guess. Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto, let me just double check. Yes, that's number 9, thank you. Got a point for Deepak Prabhu. 213. Which is? Dehino Sminyata Dehi. That's number 7 is Dehino Sminyata Dehi. Sarva Dharma and Parichaja, that is number two. It's the second most quoted verse ever. Number three is a Bhagavad Gita verse, and no one's mentioned it yet. No. No. Say again? No. No. Has anyone mentioned Brahma Buddha Prasannatma yet? That's number six. Daivi Yesha Gunamayi is number eight. Prakriti Kriyamanane is number 10. But number three, Bahunam Jamunamante is number five. But the third most quoted verse no one's got yet. Now I'll give you a hint. How do you go back to the spiritual world? No, that's in the top 20, I think. Yes, Prabhupada quoted this verse so often. He said, if you know the birth and activities of the Lord, then you can go back to the spiritual world. He's asking us, you learn about Krishna, learn Krishna's his activities, and about his birth, how he's unborn, but yet he still takes birth. That is the third most quoted verse of Srila Prabhupada. Now, in the top 10, there's two that weren't Bhagavad Gita verses. Anyone like to guess what they are? It's good. If I get you to guess, you'll never forget. No, that's a Bhagavad Gita verse. This is not a Bhagavad Gita verse. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's from the Brahma Sangita. There's two verses. The top 10 verses, there's two of them are not Bhagavad Gita verses. So the fourth most often quoted verse of Prabhupada is from the Brahma Samhita. So which verse is it? Ishvara Parama Krishna. The verse that establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, which doesn't appear in the top 10. But what's number one? No. That is in the top 20 there are only three Bhagavatam verses, and that's one of them, so thank you. What's the topmost verse Prabhupada quoted? Shall I tell you? No? Okay, I'm teasing you. It's from the Kali Santarna Upanishad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, I know. I thought I'd do that to you. Anyway. Is 2:13 Dehi no Sminyata Dehi? That's number seven, seventh most quoted verse. Okay. Now let's not look at number 11, Janma Jasyataha, from the Vedanta Sutra. But it's also from the Bhagavatam, so it might be that. That could be number 11. But what is the most quoted? That's counted as Brahma Sutra. What is the most quoted verse from Bhagavatam? Anyone want to make a guess on that one? No. It's not, this is number 22, it's not Savai Pum Shum Puro Dharmo. That's a very often quoted verse about pure devotional service. It's the phrase from Prahlad Maharaj, Nate Vidu Svarta Gatim Hi Vishnu. The demons do not know that the actual purpose of life is to know Vishnu. You see? Anyway, so there you are. This demonstrates that, you know, in the first top 100 verses, about 50 of them are Bhagavad Gita verses. So Prabhupada was always quoting the Bhagavad Gita. That was the main book for distribution, because that's his ecstasy. Kurukshetra first, and then you can have both Kurukshetra Leela and Rasa Leela together. And the other phrases he would use, they are not becoming purified, they're becoming putrefied. If we go prematurely to the high topics, we become putrefied. First deserve, then desire. It's wonderful. And here's one I've. First come to Swarup, then talk of Swarup. Because we have this tendency, we talk about the Swarup. And then we say, well, is that, what's the difference between, Vastu City and Swarup City? And is it to do with the Swarup develops in the next life in Krishna's Leela, or is it this life? And all this talk. But actually, Prabhupada said, first come to Swarup, then talk of Swarup. Anyway, so these are Prabhupada's way of telling us to be very, very careful. And that's why in our movement, we don't talk about these things so much. And of course, sometimes it comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Roy Leela. But it's nice that we don't, and never be fooled into thinking, oh, that means we're not so, ISKCON isn't so advanced. It's a very basic practice, because we don't talk about these things. Because it's not about talking about them, it's about whether you can actually experience them. And those that experience them, they don't talk about it, generally. Just like if Fishman Bar has got a big diamond in his safe in his house, he's not going to tell anyone, because it's a secret. So if you have something very, very precious, you're not going to talk about it. Right? So the Prabhupada's mood was, if you do come to this higher platform, then you just carry on, just guide everyone else, you know, help spread Lord Chaitanya's mission, but you don't talk about these things. So some people, they foolishly think that because people are not talking about it, it means they don't have it, and then they think by us talking about it, we have it. But that's not the case. Because as Prabhupada said, first you become putrefied if you're not very careful, you see. So we have to always bear that in mind. And it's a balancing act, because tatra lauyam api mulyam ekalam, we need the greed. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati once said, I'm talking about these elevated topics because if I don't, you'll become impersonalist. So there is a little element where we do talk about it, because we need to nourish the greed. But at the same time, we have to distinguish between the real bona fide spiritual greed, which is pure, and the false greed, which is just prematurely entering into higher topics. Service now, samadhi later. Work now, samadhi later. That's a nice one. And if I remember rightly, someone's investigated that and they can't actually find a Prabhupada quote for that. So maybe it is, maybe not. So if anyone would like to research if that has actually been said, because someone questioned that and said it's not a Prabhupadaism. But maybe it is. Maybe someone just didn't look hard enough. So anyway, that's worth looking at. But thank you. So I've left a few minutes left. I think prasad normally gets served at 9:05-ish, but I've got 5 minutes, so any comments or questions? Thank you. And if you don't, we'll just join the prasad queue. Cyrus Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu. So elevated, all of this. So you mentioned Mahabhav and the different stages.
Yeah.
Is it only the gopis that experience these different stages, the Mahabhav?
Well, to get a proper answer, if you go to the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, you'll find the answer. As far as I remember, there's a type of elevated Mahabhav called Adhirudha Mahabhav, and I think the queens of Dwarka experienced that. But there's a type of bhav, Madana, Modana, or Madana, only Radharani experiences. I think some of those types of bhavs the gopis experience, and then there's the Madana, Akyabhav, Mahabhav, only Radharani experiences. But there's definitely, Mahabhav is definitely experienced by the queens of Dwarka in one of its degrees. It's also experienced by devotees like Subal, because they are connected so much to the conjugal rasa, because they're messengers, that they experience Mahabhav as well. But yes, there's different degrees of Mahabhav, and of course, the very highest level is Radharani's experiences. Okay.
I had this thought once, maybe a silly thing, but I was thinking, gopis, feminine, the women, right? Women. Why are they only gopis get to enter into Mahabhav and get to experience this? Why this feminine aspect of Krishna, the Shakti aspect, can only experience this bhav, apparently, because it's been
The jiva can experience it too. It's not like, I mean, we're jivas. We're like tathasta shakti. We can, if we develop that mood, we can develop it too. But why? Well, I don't know.
I just wondered, because you know.
I mean, I don't. It's like, for example, I'm none the wiser. For example, if I'd come to the Hare Krishna movement and then I was taught that conjugal ras is a relationship with Krishna, that's the lowest, and the highest is shanta. Now, I would have believed it, because I know none. I've not any experience otherwise. So you're asking, why is it that the conjugal ras is higher? Why is it the feminine, the male-female aspect is the highest? I don't know why that is. That's just what it is. And all I know is it's a reflection.
I know, it's an unfair question to ask. But
no, but it's a valid question. There might be some answer that someone knows. I don't know. I haven't heard of an answer. Gandhari.
Yeah.
Yes, all the other rasas are involved. Yeah, that's one aspect. The conjugal rasa contains all the other ones. Attachment to the feet of Krishna is common to all rasas. And then if you add service, a deep service, you get more realization of Krishna through service. That's dasya. And then to get to mamata, intimacy, you're going to get sakya. And then palya palakabhav, gyan, the feeling of protecting is in vatsalya. And then nijangi deha means giving of one's own body is conjugal ras. These are the Rupa Goswami, this is described when Rupa Goswami and Mahaprabhu discuss. Thank you.
You wanted to know the grinding.
Yes.
For Bengali. Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, it is here. Dumumon, Munabhav, Peshala, Dhani. Actually, this.
Peshala.
They're all classical Bengali.
Yes.
You know, so it's not commonly.
Yes. Peshala.
Peshala.
Yeah.
Peshala should be Pesha.
Pesha.
Commonly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, we're back to pesto, so thank you. Anyone else that can make any comments, questions? Parojana Prabhu? Oh. And we'll wrap it up in Hati Prasadam.
It's concerning the positions of, you could say, lover and beloved. It seems that actually, I've just got to try and remember that this feeling where one becomes Ashraya and the other one becomes Vishaya, and mm-hmm. their positions change.
Okay.
Yeah, and that occurred to me. Actually, one becomes the shelter of the other, and the other one becomes the object.
Okay.
At all.
Well, okay, and so in terms of tattva, Krishna's Vishaya and Radharani's Ashraya. But then there's sometimes it's said that Krishna is a dancing puppet in the hands of Radha. Radha Prema is the dance instructor. And Radha's love is a dance instructor, and Krishna's dancing to her tune. He's known as Krida Mriga. He's an animal. He's like a pet in the hands of the Leela of Radharani. So Krishna's controlled by Radharani. So in that sense, he actually ends up begging and taking shelter of Radharani. There's a mood there. Yeah, it's all.
Okay, thank you.
I won't say more. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitya Gaura Premanandi.